Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, Frank Vogel said some stuff, and it has me a little nervous.
Yeah, I had a feeling.
Little nervous. Dwight, please go to Orlando. All right, so today we touched on the Dwight thing yesterday, and I think there's still a little bit more to get to there. I also was kind of interested. Royce White of ESPN put together an article where some NBA players were talking about how they're looking at playing in Orlando from a mental health standpoint, and I found some interesting little kind of tidbits in there. But yeah, I kind of want to start with Frank Vogel discussing how he sees things going if Dwight decides not to go to Orlando. So this is from some guy named Harrison Feigen. I can't pronounce this guy's last name. But he says, if Dwight isn't able to go, Frank Vogel said he's hoping not to play Anthony Davis more than the Lakers were doing prior. He likes Dwight and JaVale handling the center spot by committee. He says if Dwight sits out, we may see Kaycock, Kostas, Markieff, or even Kuz at the five more. What?
So I think that will depend on which team they're playing. I do think that AD's minutes will... I think that some series will necessitate that, right? Like, so for example, some of our better lineups against the Clippers, who the Clippers switched a lot against us, and they really sagged off of us into the paint and dared us to make threes. And I think that those types of lineups were very successful. Now, if he's saying, so think about what JaVale shifts are. JaVale plays from the beginning of the game to about six minutes left in the first. Same is true in the third quarter. And those are usually his two shifts, right? Mm-hmm. Dwight normally starts the second quarter and starts the fourth quarter. And then AD will get those minutes at the five at the end of the first and at sometimes at the end of the second and at the end of the fourth, right? So I don't expect them to change like the starting lineup or anything like that. But I do think that if there's a bandwidth where of minutes for who Vogel plays at the five. So for example, if Dwight's playing, Dwight normally plays like a 9 or 10 minute shift when he plays his second, you know, starting at the second quarter, maybe that's a 6 or 7 minute shift, right? And and more minutes toward AD. But, you know, Vogel saying that's not what he's looking to do. If the Lakers can thrive without playing AD more minutes at the five, I will be pleasantly surprised. But I, where I stand in terms of watching the, you know, the tape and more specific to matchups against particular teams, there'll be some teams where, yeah, it's totally fine to, I think, to play the normal rotation. There'll be some teams where I think it's almost going to be a necessity. I'm curious to see if Vogel adjusts from there.
Yeah, I mean, some of this is semantics, right? So Vogel is saying he's hoping not to play Anthony Davis more than usual, right? Like, when I go to the doctor, I'm hoping the doctor says, or it doesn't tell me, you need to eat better or drink less, right? I'm hoping that doesn't happen. But if that's the doctor's advice, then, and that's the situation, what the situation calls for, then I kind of have to adjust, right? I have to adjust my approach to all of this. And so, yeah, when the Lakers play the Clippers and those matchups call for Davis to play the five, hope all you want, Frank, this is what the situation calls for. So, I think in aggregate, all of this stuff can be true, right? Like when you add all this together, all of this can be true, that Vogel doesn't, you know, hopes that if Dwight doesn't go to Orlando, he can hope all he wants, and he might have options, especially in those like seeding games, right? Where the Lakers are mostly just trying to stay healthy, and win the situations where everybody is really focused, right? But in those eight games, it doesn't make much sense to stretch AD more than you have to, right? And in those spots, then yeah, you could see some Kaycock minutes, you could see some Kostas minutes or whatever, because you just have to get through those eight games to eventually get to the playoffs. But come playoff time, you do what you got to do to win. Hopes be damned, kind of.
For sure. And, you know, it's going to depend on, you know, in the first round, are there any, you know, you got potentially favors in Zion, right? Mm-hmm. Where you're going to want to, you know, Dwight would probably be helpful in a series like that. Same thing could be said of Memphis. Like, so much of the team's identity, the Lakers, that is being bigger, faster, and stronger. And yeah, Dwight certainly plays into that. I mean, if there's no Dwight, like, I'm excited about Devontae Kaycock and the, you know, Kostas, you know, has some talent, but asking those guys to play in playoff minutes,
yeah,
it just seems, it seems like it's a stretch, right? Like that, yeah, that would be very difficult to pull off. So, I mean, if we can, great, but I think that would be, yeah, very, very difficult to do.
Well, it's also something that runs completely contrary to what they did all year, right? Like I think we saw Kaycock in like maybe three games over the course of those first like 63 or whatever the Lakers played. Like, we didn't see him very much. And now he was playing really, really well in the G League. Is it the G League?
Yes, it's the G League.
It is, right? Yeah.
Yes. What was it used before? To be the D League.
There you go.
Yeah.
And what's funny is that like when it changed to the G League, I was like, I am never going to call it that. But now I forgot what we called it before.
Right.
So yeah, he was still tearing it up down there in the G League, and you know, was one of the top rookies in that league. But that's a giant jump to go from like, yeah, he played really well down there, to like, okay, welcome to the playoffs. Here's Zion in the first round, and then here's whatever, James Harden and anybody picking roles in the second round. And here's like all of these different situations that like you are not going to be at all prepared to handle. I still think at the end of the day, what the Lakers are kind of banking on is that Dwight decides to go. And again, not to put any undue pressure on him, it's his decision, and it's completely understandable if he opts not to go. But given what these other options are, if he doesn't, that's just... please, Dwight, please, you know, head down to Orlando. I want to take a quick second here, and when we come back, this kind of gets to a conversation about kind of the makeup of this team anyway, and adjustments, you know, maybe beyond this season, and how they might approach building this team for next season too. So I want to take a quick second. When we come back, we'll talk about that. Today's show is brought to you in part by Magic Spoon. Growing up, my favorite part of the day before I would go off to school was to eat some cereal. And I am literally recording this. I'm going to post video on this on Twitter. I'm recording this with Avery sitting on my lap, so one day she is going to eventually start eating cereal. And I'm going to have to remind her, hey, you aren't going to be able to eat all this sugar for your entire life. And if and when you do grow up, I am going to introduce you to Magic Spoon. Magic Spoon has 0 grams of sugar, 12 grams of protein, and only 3 net grams of carbs in each serving. They have 4 flavors: cocoa, fruity, frosted, and blueberry. And most importantly, it tastes amazing. Isn't that right? Tastes amazing. Honestly, it's too good to be true. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free. Oop, she's eating my thumb. Soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. I go to Magic Spoon as a daily prescription to get me ready for an entire day of dealing with Avery. So you should go to magicspoon.com to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code NBA at checkout to get free shipping. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money. No, Avery, no questions asked. That's magicspoon.com/NBA. Use the code NBA for free shipping. We thank Magic Spoon for sponsoring this podcast and apologize for Avery. Today's show is also brought to you in part by Blinkist. Today, actually, I had to go in for an MRI, and while I was sitting there waiting for my appointment, I was actually able to knock out a book. I read Michelle Obama's Becoming, and well, read quote unquote read by listening to Blanket's version of Becoming by Michelle Obama. And it was really cool to sit there and feel like I was bettering myself over the course of the time that I would otherwise be just on my phone scrolling through Twitter. So I did the opposite. Twitter makes me dumber. Listening to Michelle Obama talk about her life story made me smarter. And I cannot speak highly enough of this product. So head on over to Blinkist.com/NBA. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/NBA to start a 7-day trial. And then enjoy 25% off from your subscription moving forward. So again, that's Blinkist.com/NBA to have access to any number of titles like Becoming by Michelle Obama, Tiger Woods by Jeff Benedict, Secrets of Power Negotiating by Roger Dawson, and more. So again, Blinkist.com/NBA to start your 7-day trial and then get 25% off of your prescription moving forward. All right, so I'm looking at the Lakers salary cap heading into next season, right? So you have JaVale McGee in the front court. So you have Anthony Davis, who I'm guessing will be back. I actually think at this point he'll pick up his player option just because there's so much up in the air about how next season is going to look cap-wise. For that same reason, I actually think JaVale probably picks up his option too. So you have those two guys. I feel like the Lakers aren't going to be able to retain Dwight at just about anything. He's played so well this year that some team is going to pay him more than even, say, the mid-level or upwards of the full mid-level, which I think the Lakers might want to use on a different position anyway. But given how reluctant the Lakers seem to be to playing Anthony Davis at the five consistently, do you see the Lakers kind of going in that same direction in terms of, all right, here's a two-headed monster in terms of traditional centers, and then also Anthony Davis whenever, you know, the situation calls for him to play there?
Yeah, I think that the approach that they took this year will probably be how they approach it throughout AD's tenure. From watching AD, I kind of get the value of him playing at the four more than I did when we first signed him, right? So
an interesting point. Yeah.
Yeah. Because just like the nature of AD's game, like he reminds me of like a pterodactyl or some like graceful, like he's best when he's using his speed and he's flying around and he's covering distance. I think that you just get a different player when you're asking him to do a lot of the five responsibilities. Now, if you're playing Houston and it's PJ Tucker at the five, like, you know, that's not what I'm talking about.
I think a pterodactyl can handle PJ Tucker.
Yes. But in terms of like a traditional five, I think he has advantages against them. I also think there's an accumulation of wear and tear that it's not like in case of emergency break glass, we play AD at the five. It's just, I could see why there would be diminishing returns of playing him at the five, the more that you play him at the five.
That was the literal term I was thinking about using.
Diminishing returns. Yeah.
Yeah. I was kind of looking at it from a standpoint, like as a cook, right? Like I really like cayenne pepper. I really like I think it uplifts a lot of plates, right? I think just in general, it's a really, really good, because I like spice with just about all of my food. Mm-hmm. But if you go overboard on that cayenne pepper, it goes, like, it turns that plate into something completely different. And I think with AD playing the five, you could play, when you throw him in there in spots and he's able to be just super, super effective and the kind of player that you envision as your stretch five in those moments, it makes those games that general recipe all the better. But if you spice him in there too much, right, it starts to take away from what exactly it is that you're using him there in the first place to be.
That's a really good analogy.
But I the thing is, though, this is where I think the Lakers might have kind of dipped into a bit of a market inefficiency in that, like, I actually think that Dwight Howard is a special case because he's a future Hall of Famer who played in his, you know, obviously somewhat shrunk in minutes this year, right? He didn't play the kind of role that he's played over the course of his career. But in those minutes, like, he showed flashes of like, yeah, that's why I was a bad MF-er back in the day, you know? So I don't think the Lakers are going to be able to stumble into another Dwight situation. But because of the way that centers are generally used nowadays, I actually think the Lakers can find that kind of player at that kind of price relatively easily. I actually like the use heading into the season. I was really against the idea of having two centers like JaVale and like Dwight, because I thought we don't need that kind of replication, that kind of duplication on the roster. But seeing as that kind of center is relatively attainable at a decent price just about anywhere you look, I actually really like the idea of approaching team building that way, especially if on top of getting good value at that position, you keep Anthony Davis fresh and more inclined to commit to whatever he needs to do in those minutes in the first place.
No, absolutely. It's kind of funny how the center position in the NBA is becoming more and more like the running back position in the NFL, mm-hmm. where like they're important parts of the team for sure, but there are more of them than there are needs, right? So that drives down the price of, mm-hmm. And you know, we're also coming up on what's going to be a very strange free agency year where the cap is certainly going to be a lot lower than we expected it to be due to the stoppage and all of the complications of this. So I think a lot of players are going to be incentivized to sign 1-year deals and wait for, you know, for the market to reset itself, knock on wood, going into the, you know, and the finance of the league to reset themselves going into the following season. And so the Lakers may be pretty well positioned to get a guy on a 1-year deal. I mean, I'd love to have Dwight back. He filled that position wonderfully. But if that's not possible, I think the Lakers may be, between the combination of factors, may be pretty well positioned to do exactly what you're saying there and get, you know, really good player there without breaking the bank for them.
And I really like the analogy of the running back analogy there, because like there are still running backs that hold higher value than other running backs. And those running backs that are hugely, those are hugely special commodities that I'm okay with paying even after somebody like, I'm blanking on his name, Jen's running back in New Orleans, but somebody like those running backs that can catch the ball coming out of the backfield and are going to stay fresher because they're capable of doing that. I'm okay paying those kinds of running backs. Maybe not like highest paid running back in the league. I don't think that ever really works out for the team, but I'm okay with giving a pay raise to those running backs who do more than your typical running back. And Anthony Davis seems like that kind of quote unquote running back, where he's so unique in how he can play that position that you can max Anthony Davis and be perfectly fine because he's so special at that position. Whereas like, you know, somebody like Rudy Gobert, whatever team, any team that ever maxes out Rudy Gobert, they're always going to be kind of hamstrung because he has a somewhat linear set of skills. He's not going to be as special as Anthony Davis might be, even as special as like Nikola Jokic might be, because his creative abilities at that position. I really like that analogy, and I'm really kind of excited at the idea that the Lakers kind of stumbled in on a market inefficiency that only they, by the way, are really able to tap into because they have Anthony Davis on their team.
it's been a big part of the team, the reason why the Lakers have been successful this year.
Yeah. All right, let's take another quick second here. And when we come back, we're going to send you off into the weekend with a little bit of fun. Today's show is also brought to you in part by rockauto.com. Head on over to rockauto.com, pick out whatever parts you want, put them on your cart, whatever, go through your entire purchase process, and then at the end of it, make sure you let them know that you found us by writing Locked On, or found them through us by writing Locked On in their How Did You Find Us box. rockauto.com has been in business helping car drivers and do-it-yourselfers for 20 years. They're a family business. They've been doing this for 20 years. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specs, and prices you prefer. And then best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low. And the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts as you would at any store as you can just by scrolling on your own internet at home? So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, and then write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. RockAuto.com has amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, so I'm springing this on you, and we'll see how this goes. This is completely my idea, if it falls on its face, it's only for me to blame. But I'm always kind of interested in, I think there's a lot that you can learn about the way somebody looks at the game if they kind of go through this exercise. So design for me, Pete, the perfect NBA player.
Oh, boy. So I think
why is it LeBron James?
Let's start with LeBron. You know, what are we doing? Like Steph shooting and that type of thing?
So we've kind of done this thing before in the past where we say like you have 100 points to spend, right? 100 mm-hmm. creative points to spend, and you have, you know, a handful of attributes that you can spend those points on. How are you breaking down, like, how are you spending those points? So like athleticism, leadership is, I think, too intangible. So let's leave that off the table. But, you know, shooting, defense, you know, size, physical makeup, all those things. So like if you were just kind of defining where you're starting, you know, where are you starting from in building this perfect player? What does the perfect player look like?
So it starts with physical capabilities that, you know, so how many points do I need to spend to get a player with the type of size, speed, and coordination of LeBron, of Giannis, of Joel Embiid, right? The Anthony Davis, yeah. However many points I need to spend to get a guy physically like that, I'm going to spend those first, right? Okay. And then the next places I'm spending those points is on recognition, right? Okay. The awareness, ability to read the game, to understand the game. I feel like if you've got those two things, and then I would spend pretty much like most of it on that, and then some shooting, right? Like if you mm-hmm. get a guy like that who can shoot just a little bit, LeBron's a good example, right? Like of the type of player that I'm describing, you know, and I would spend almost all of those 100 points on those three areas. What about you?
I think I mostly agree. I would also spend a few points on like willingness to learn and adapt, right? Mm-hmm. Like long-term, just because, you know, one of the things that I think has been fascinating to watch this year, specifically with LeBron, has been him kind of realizing midway through, and especially those last couple games, oh my God, I am so much bigger than everybody. And if I just back down people, there's nothing anybody can do. Right. And it was actually really funny to see just like this extreme bully ball LeBron go into that. And I think somebody with that kind of IQ, that kind of basketball IQ, and also willingness to put in place the things that they learn, I think that's a hugely valuable skill set that I don't think we see often enough. Like it comes to mind with like Carmelo Anthony, right? Who coming out of college was one of the best college players I have ever seen, bar none. And you look at the evolution of his game from like the start of his rookie year to now, I haven't seen enough evolution there. He didn't look at the game, even while he's known as Olympic Melo, because when he went in those situations and he became like the best version of himself, he wasn't able to bring that back with him to the NBA. And I just think, you know, somebody like LeBron, who has seen like the game evolve around him and also allowed that to kind of guide the way he's evolved in it. I think that's been really interesting to watch and hugely beneficial to his staying power throughout his career.
Yeah, I think that if I could change my answer, it's actually more aligned with what you're talking about is work ethic, right? That's one of the things that I feel like, you know, Giannis, for example, has gotten significantly better pretty much every year. Mm-hmm. And that understanding of the game and that, awareness of where everyone's supposed to be, what this defensive action is best countered by this offensive action. The roots of that are really in work ethic, right? It's something. So Brandon Ingram, for example, made huge strides because he works really hard and he focused on getting better as a player. So I think what you're talking about there is more foundational, and what I was talking about is more the result. So if I could take my points back and put it into, give me a freak athlete with a crazy work ethic, and pretty much everything else is going to take care of itself.
Yeah, because even like the shooting aspect of it, like you talked about wanting your player to have some shooting.
Great point.
LeBron's ability to develop a shot over the course of his career comes from an insane work ethic, mm-hmm. And I mean, yeah, like from a basketball standpoint, I think when it's all said and done, Steph is going to be the closest to Magic for like greatest point guard of all time that I think a player has gotten. And yet even there, Steph is kind of held back by him just being smaller. You look at how he's played in big moments in the finals where teams are just allowed to kind of bully you, and he struggled at times in those situations because he is of slighter build. So like, give me a guy who is built to be able to withstand that style of play and actually capable of forcing that play onto somebody else. And that's the kind of player that I really think you're going to be set with. And frankly, like, Shaq is an interesting case study here because he is somebody who is like known, right? His quotes and like the the way his body kind of gave way over the course of his career, right? Wouldn't point to somebody who has crazy work ethic. But when you look at how dominant he was during that three-peat stretch and how he was able to pick apart defenses from the post spot, like that to me speaks to somebody who did his study work that, understood, all right, so if they come and double from this angle, that means this pass is really going to open up either the shooter directly as a result of that pass or one pass later. Right. And understanding those concepts, we don't think of Shaq this way, but I really think he's probably severely underrated in his picking up of those things.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Shaq was most underrated part of Shaq's game was his passing. He was a really good passer, especially out of the post.
Yeah.
And that came from recognition. Right. So, that's something that those things come from. You make a great point with the work ethic.
Do you have we talked about the kind of player that we would design, just from a standpoint of like to make the best player, does your answer change at all for like the kind of player you most want to watch? Like, Kobe was smaller, right? But was he more fun to watch than say a LeBron?
I see what you're saying. I enjoy it. That's a great point because yes, Steph, for example, I love watching Steph play because he's so skilled. I think I've talked about this before, about the masterclass video he did on shooting. It's the best instructional video I've seen done by a player because his mastery of the skills and the minutia that goes into every, I'm talking like, you point your foot at this angle instead of this slightly different angle. Mm-hmm. You point your elbow this, like the technical stuff. I just geek out on it. And Steph and Kobe are really the pinnacles of in different aspects of the game, but pinnacles of this is how good you can get yourself by working on your skills, right? Some of it's natural talent, of course, but that development of footwork, of understanding leverage and the different things that Steph and Kobe both used against defenders, that's just another aspect of the game that I especially appreciate. Those guys also, like guys like LeBron and Giannis and AD, those guys don't need to incorporate as much of that from a technical standpoint. Although I would argue that LeBron's mastered the mental X's and O's, like the conceptual mm-hmm. part of like this happens and then that happens, the chess of it, however you want to phrase it. I'd say that LeBron's mastered that, right, in a similar way that's comparable to Kobe's footwork, right? Like the best to ever do it type stuff.
Yeah.
But just from a like Kobe and Steph, man, they'd hit shots, I'd be like, oh, that was so sweet. Like, that was just so sweet. Yeah. And obviously LeBron makes passes like that, and Giannis, you know, taking two steps from half court and dunking on someone, also very cool. You know what I mean? I have a special place in my heart for the skilled guys.
Yeah, I think basketball was meant to be played by somebody about 6'6", 6'7". Mm-hmm. Like, to make it look the most, like, visually appealing, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. right? I think it was, like, Steph is an outlier here because, yeah, you're right. When he does stuff, that, like, when I love players that, like, after they hit a shot, you're like, come on.
Yeah.
That's just unfair.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Get out of here, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, Steph is kind of an outlier from that rule, but generally speaking, the players that I've most found myself kind of, the players who really catch my eye out there on a court are the guys that are in that like 6'7"-ish range, the Michaels, the Kobe's, even like Vince back in the day, T-Mac, right? Those kinds of players mm-hmm. that, you know, when they dunk, right, you really see the elevation when they get up there. Mm-hmm. Their jumpers, you know, they're almost eye level when they're shooting their jumper too with the rim. Mm-hmm. It's just the sport looks cooler for those guys. I think Giannis is kind of interesting because it almost looks too easy for him. Like mm-hmm. he's 7 feet tall. Like KD goes through this too, where they're 7 feet tall and they are gifted beyond belief. So you look at them, you're like, yeah, all right, yeah, this is kind of what they should be doing. Mm-hmm. But then you look at somebody, the guys who are just a little bit shorter, and we're only talking a matter of like a handful of inches here, but just a little bit shorter, and I think the game looks a lot more fun.
Yeah, those guys at that size that you're talking about combine what's cool about guards and what's cool about bigs
yeah.
kind of into the same player when they're at their best anyway.
Yeah, because like the baseball example of this, because I think there have been better players, you know, before and after Ken Griffey Jr., right? But he played so much cooler than everybody else mm-hmm. I've mm-hmm. ever seen play the sport of baseball. Mm-hmm. So like, yeah, there are different ways that I would design a baseball player a little bit differently, different approaches that I would maybe tweak, right? But in terms of like peak coolness of a sport, I'm not sure, like you could make the argument across all sports, Griffey played his sport cooler than any other athlete has played their sport. Like maybe Messi is up there. I think you can make the argument maybe Kobe there for a while, mm-hmm. but I think Griffey was just so, like, his swing was so effing cool. Wore his hat backwards for the home run derbies. Like, if you're mm-hmm. my age and you never impersonated Griffey's swing, we can't be friends. Like, yeah. if you played baseball and you never did that, we're just not going to get along.
Yeah, I was a lefty little leaguer Ken Griffey Jr. was a rookie in his first couple of years. So, yeah, that's an impossible swing to replicate, but you certainly tried.
Yep. All right, that's going to do. That was fun. That worked out.
That was.
All right. That's going to do it for this episode and this week's episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. By the time we come back next week, teams are going to be getting ready to head out there to Orlando. So we will take you guys through that. By that time, Dwight will have made his decision. I don't think it's the kind of decision that, you know, we're going to have to record an emergency podcast for, but I will definitely, you know, react and respond to it on Monday's show. So get your questions in on iTunes for that. And yeah, we'll talk to you then. So have a great rest of your weekend. Make somebody else's, and we will talk to you on Monday.